time for the Molloy Drive Show podcast. It's the year of the long weekend, people, and with over 160 locations across Australia and New Zealand, you'll be sure to find a Choice Hotel. Plan your next getaway at choicehotels.com for the lowest price guarantee. Terms and conditions apply. Okay, Australia, you know him. You can count on him.
I'm a 50-50 chance.
You love him.
Hello. Go to the top shelf, ladies.
And now, it's his show.
Here we go, people.
This is Molloy.
G'day, Australia. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Molloy. Hello, Dave.
Happy hump day. How are you, Mickey?
I am watching the telly. Gold, gold,
well
gold
done.
For Australia.
Just happened.
Sailing. I can't believe it. It's one of our strongest disciplines. Wait till we introduce the Barbie boat.
Yeah.
We will knock
gold
it out
medal.
Of the park. Barbie boats, paddle boats, we'll win everything. Well done, boys. We'll see if we can get the audio for that.
Yeah.
Speaking of, it's not all good news from the Olympics. There's been some disgraceful behaviour on a trip home.
Again, well
from
done,
Tokyo.
Australia.
Gold, 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 they said as they looked at a big pile of vomit. We'll get to the bottom of that.
Yes.
And ask, are they an inspiration for all Australians?
Mm-hmm.
The Song Whisperer, Dave, the Song Whisperer is proving to be
all
a
night
sensation.
Working on this
have
song.
Have you got something?
Yeah, of
they're
course.
They're a bit cerebral
do.
For my liking.
Are they?
Yeah.
You
I didn't realise you were such a wordsmith.
You thought they'd be a bit dumber, like myself? No.
Well, I had no idea. We'll get to that. Jim Jefferies.
Fantastic.
I love catching up with Jim Jefferies down the line from LA.
Always
Michelle
great.
Laurie's written a book. One of the great crime podcasts going around. She's written a book, CSI Told You Lies.
Fantastic.
We'll ask about that, and I might make a couple of suggestions.
Okay.
For future
throw some
crime
ideas her
novels.
Way.
See what she thinks.
Oh,
we're
going to
take your calls, take your tweets. Get right through it.
Let's get into it.
Let's go, Dave. Let's get off to a flyer.
Choice Hotels. You can plan your next getaway at choicehotels.com for the lowest price guarantee.
This is Molloy.
And breaking.
Yes.
Olympic news.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for putting in the music.
Here it is.
That's great. I love it.
It is. Fanfare for the common man.
Is there any lyrics to this?
I don't think there is lyrics.
Yeah.
No.
It's going to make it my karaoke song.
You can do that. Ding, 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 ding. This reminds me of World of Sport. Growing up as a kid on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, that's Montreal. 1976, by the way. You got it wrong yesterday.
There was lots of calls. 72.
You said 72 and they came for you.
I know they did.
Big Olympic news. Belcher and Ryan have just won gold in the men's 470 sailing.
Well
they had it in the bag, but they had to actually run it out.
Yes.
Great stuff. Belcher, I think, now has won 3 medals over 3 different Olympics.
Congratulations.
Top shelf all the way.
15 gold for Australia now. Isn't that amazing?
Well, it is amazing, and it's great news, and they're setting a fantastic example for the
kids.
Yeah,
well done.
On the other hand,
what?
we have some Olympians who are. Well, just before we get there, I think we can go now live
and
have a listen to the boys crossing
Thanks
the line.
Thanks, Channel 7.
Yeah.
Huge, big hug and smile for Belcher. It's a third Olympic medal, 2 golds and a silver to add to his 8 career world titles.
There
amazing.
You go.
Well done, boys.
I've done some professional sailing.
Have you?
Well, I have. So my brother-in-law used to race etchels.
What's
big
that?
Big boat. Like
right.
Big boats.
Okay.
Sometimes. And he used to ring me up occasionally. He'd go, hey, do you want to go sailing today?
Yeah.
And I would go, oh, okay.
What's this mean?
I get it.
What?
Well, they need a big fat guy to sit on the boat to keep it even.
Like to balance.
You're essentially human ballast.
Is that right?
So if it gets up to 30 knots or it's top. They they just need
someone just sit there.
A big fatty.
And what do you have to do? Just
nothing.
Right.
Nothing. I just sit there and drink beer.
Sail on great oceans.
I would stand up to take a wee. That would be it. And well, we had many wins.
Oh, did
you? Don't you worry. I'd be on the dais.
Well done.
So congratulations.
That's huge.
Not so congratulatory to our returning Olympians who have caused a bit of a stink on a plane from Tokyo.
Yeah.
I love this. So we lionise them for 2 weeks.
We do.
You're
heroes.
Just so great and you're heroes.
Yeah.
And then we go, well, okay, we're done with that. What have we got now? Oh, let's get them. So we can't wait. Now, there's been a bit of misbehaviour involving the Ollie Roos, that's the men's soccer team, and the rugby team. Now, guys, you weren't winning gold. Yes,
okay.
You get to vomit on the plane. No gold. Sit there. Be quiet.
Yeah,
eat your
right.
meal. So let's have a listen to a report on Channel 7.
Okay.
I think it was at sunrise, maybe, talking about the state they left the rooms in before they got on the plane.
As the green and gold exodus began overnight, a handful who'd partied hard at the athlete's village.
Yeah, there's a hole in the wall.
A wall, a door, someone threw up, the cleaners called in. The culprits, members of the rugby and rowing teams.
Some young people had made a mistake. They had left the rooms in a condition we thought was unacceptable.
The team boss putting it down to youthful exuberance and poor construction.
Some big people and there were some very flimsy walls, because they're temporary walls as well.
And temporary walls, that's going to do it.
The team captain they were interviewing sounded like he'd had a couple.
He was a bit hoarse, wasn't he?
Sounded a bit like, yeah, there's a bit going on. Someone got drunk. There's a hole in the wall. Big guys. Get stuffed.
What's the hole in the wall?
We get onto the hole in the wall. They're flimsy. They're cardboard beds.
Right.
There'll be a hole in the bed.
So these are like temporary constructions put together just for the Olympics.
Well, and they had to get them out because they have to go home because new athletes are coming in. So
they've left it
in a bit of a mess. They're not going to get their bond back, Dave. They're not going to get their bond back.
Now
the plane is an issue. Rugby Australia is investigating allegations of bad behaviour from the men's sevens team. Okay. A rowdy flight home could also land members of the Ollie Roos in hot water.
Ollie Roos.
Sources say a number of players were heavily intoxicated. Mm. The vomit was left in the bathroom on the plane following a long drinking session. I'll tell you how bad it was.
How bad was it?
Even Booney's disgusted. Even Booney's gone, no.
No, he got too far.
Wasn't that 10-hour flight? I wonder how many Booney could do.
So what did Booney do from Australia to London?
43.
Yeah, it was a case, wasn't it?
It was 2 an hour. He could almost do a slab.
Was that an Ashes run?
I think he played the next day. It was bad behaviour, Carol said. Drinking in the aisles.
Carol.
Not following instructions. Athletes were saying they were drinking and that's why they weren't wearing their masks. Not good enough.
Hmm.
Tough stuff it was. They said there were a few other sports involved.
Oh, is that right? So it wasn't just the Ollie Roos?
Sports involved. Who would it be? Well,
you've got your rugby sevens, you've got your Ollie Roos.
Badminton.
The badminton?
Badminton.
You reckon?
For the 48-year-old gymnast. Andrew Hoy.
Oh, hang on a minute.
He'd be a two-pot screamer.
He's 64.
Another sherry to E64.
Should know better.
Water polo, they'd still have their caps on. They'd be doing a nudie run.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be skateboarders. They're too young. They're not old enough.
Need some ID.
Players were understood to be loud and obnoxious.
Mm.
While sources say... Now, look.
What?
133.53. We've all done it. And by the way, can I just say, with that type of behaviour, and that throwing up.
Yeah.
And that...
Hole in the ball.
Do you know what? boys and girls all around Australia watching this will be inspired by you are role models. That's been the catchphrase.
It has been.
How do you go? I mean, you must feel great at boys.
I would
have been inspired as a young boy. That's why I do what
I do. That's why you are now.
So I was inspired by that kind of behaviour. 133.53. Have you been on an end-of-season trip that you bent out of shape, got out of order? And we just don't want the really gruesome stuff.
Right.
Something with
a bit of fun, a bit of
art to it.
Yeah.
Something went wrong. I got sent down on the end of a season footy trip to Phillip Island with one mate to set up the tents. So the next day when everyone else arrived, all our campsite would be done.
Right.
They found me and my mate asleep in a ditch and no tents, which had blown off overnight because they hadn't been erected.
Heading out towards Bass Strait somewhere.
Yeah, it was last seen. Heading out below the 42nd parallel. You get the idea. 133.53, get involved.
Driving you home, this is Malloy.
It is indeed. Michelle Laurie is going to join us in about 10, 15 minutes. Then from LA in the second hour, it'll be Jim Jefferies on the show. Taking your call, so 133.53, end of season trips.
Men's sevens, Ollie Roos have let themselves down, their country down. After being an inspiration to the boys and girls around the country for 2 weeks, we now can't wait to tear them down. That's what we do in this country.
Yeah.
We spend 2 years going, you're so fantastic.
Heroes, all
and
of you.
And now we can't, we'll pour over every detail to try and get
pull
these.
Them down again.
Get these blokes
back
and sort
reality.
Them out. Probably a bit
are.
Of horseplay.
Yeah.
A bit of horseplay on the plane.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a bit of hijinks. A
bit of fun and games.
Yeah, you know, a bit of nervous energy release. And all of a sudden, national enemy number one.
Mm-hmm.
They've had a shocker, apparently, on a plane, 10 hours, drinking, bad behaviour, got us thinking, what's your end-of-season trip? We've all had one.
Mm.
We've all done it.
Yeah,
Whitney.
Blow off some steam.
Whitney's joined us in the studio. I always enjoy it.
I don't want to be in here.
You don't
want to
be in here, but you're going to take your medicine.
What happened?
And by the way, the girls, give us a call, girls.
Oh,
I noticed you've been very shy on the phone
Come
so
on.
Far. But No Undies Mondays was a famous
I don't know about that one.
The No Undies Mondays, that's like a Mad Monday.
Yeah.
So, girls, we know what you get up to. And I've heard some stories. You were on a netball interseason trip.
Netball.
What did you do, Whitney?
I mean, there's a few stories I can choose from. The first thing that came to my mind was we were going through a drive-through Bottle-O.
In a van?
Yeah.
In a van full of girls. Yeah. And I might have passed the guy behind the counter.
You passed a guy who worked in a bottle shop.
Yeah. Whitney.
On an interseason
trip for netball. Give her a prize, Dave.
Case of McLean draft on its wife, you win.
See, that works for me.
Yeah.
You're having fun. No one's getting hurt.
Yeah.
You would have been dead, were you?
Yeah, I may not have.
Right.
You may have just taken matters into
your
own hands.
Yeah, I just have to stress. I was young and different back then. I'm a professional.
It was 3 months ago.
Yeah.
It was three months ago. Well done.
Thank you.
You're the pride of Kyneton.
Not now.
And you've really kicked on. Dave, you would have been on an end of season
We did trip. A end of year season trip through work. So it was Triple M. This was a day on the green with Cole Chisel. I'm thinking 10 years ago perhaps. And it was, we had a really good year. The ratings were great. So it was blowing off some steam. But it rained about 2 days constant.
It's like Woodstock. It's like your Woodstock.
It's exactly what it was. When we got there, it was just mud everywhere. Anyway, the company gave us all limousines there. And it was about an hour trip. And we would just do mud slides through the mud. We would just
with your limousines. Are you panning your limousines in the car park at day on the green?
So we get into the limousines. We're just covered in mud. So we got a big bill and a very angry letter from the limousine company saying you're a bunch of idiots. Again,
that's good for Triple M.
Thank you.
Who else was there?
Everyone was there. Fitzy was there.
Fitzpatrick. What was Fitzy doing?
He was leading by example that night. Doing all sorts of crazy stuff.
I've heard a couple of stories.
Have you?
Tell them off air.
All right, okay.
You don't want to get too
careful.
It could be a change at the top. Hey, Ty's on the line. Ty.
Hello, boys.
All right. Hey, what happened to you? End of season trip? Yeah. Got too drunk? What happened?
Oh, it wasn't really an end of season trip. It was a seasonal.
It's Christmas. It sounds like the end.
It was Christmas. Yeah. My boss took me to Carol's by Candlelight here in Hobart.
Okay.
And rocked us into the VIP tent. I got a little bit bored and it was an open bar. So after I stole my second bottle of wine and sculled that, they kicked me out.
Okay. So, I'm just going to say this. Just to paraphrase, you got kicked out of the VIP tent at Carol's by Candlelight.
Yeah.
Dookie Dave.
Were they singing this song at the time?
Give us another drink, you bastards. 1-3-3-5-3, you get the idea. Keep ringing. Get on the line, girls.
Ty, case of Brick Lane coming your way too. Available at Dan Murphy's.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
We're talking about interseason trips because, there's been some disgraceful behaviour by Australian athletes returning from Tokyo, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
This was inevitable. Someone, we've had our moments of glory. We've got to tear them down now.
Right.
They've had a shocker on a 10-hour flight. How much trouble can you get up to on a 10-hour flight? It's all over pretty quickly.
Pretty much cabin crew, arm doors and cross check.
I'm a long haul specialist.
Are you?
I am. Give me 24 hours and I'll show you some antics.
Bloody hell.
Give me 24 hours and I'll be taken off the other end in a wheelchair by police.
There he is.
That's
handcuffed.
The way I roll. Yep. That's how I clear customs a lot.
Do you?
Bring him through. One of the best ever was 1-3-3-5-3, end of season trips. What do you get up to? Footscray Football Club, classic.
Okay, what happened?
Back in the day, they got turfed off a plane between Bali and Melbourne.
Okay.
And one of their players, a player called Grunewagen.
Right.
Had a couple.
Yeah.
He got on the intercom. This is your Captain Grunewagen speaking. We're about to crash.
Oh, and airlines see the funny side of that, wouldn't they?
Oh, today, you'd probably get 20 years.
You would.
For that,
I know. You get a marshal to strap you to a seat.
That goes down as one of the classics. Luke's on the line. Luke, footy trip, what happened to you?
It was a Vermont footy trip, and we have dress up day one footy trip.
Yeah.
We're going to Adelaide.
Yep.
So I decided to dress as a female air hostess.
Good on you.
Pong Air was my outfit.
Yep.
And so that provided great banter with the air hostesses throughout the plane, having beers.
You're a bit of a hit.
Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. I was a hit. I was making jokes like, see at the Christmas party, stuff like that afterwards.
Yes.
And then it sort of came back to bite me because we landed in Adelaide and they told me they'd accidentally sent all of my other luggage to Sydney. So I was then stuck in Adelaide, which is a bit rough around the edges in pubs.
Oh, Luke.
till like 9 p.m. that night. All my mates have got changed, and I'm just trying not to get bashed.
You would have looked
amazing.
A bit scrappy.
Yeah,
I got good legs though. So.
In your heels.
Hey, thank you, Dave.
Case of Brick Lane Drive for you, Luke. Good story, buddy.
The luggage didn't arrive.
That's funny.
It would have been funny till you landed,
and then you go, hang on a minute,
man.
I'm stuck now.
And I'm sure your mates would have helped you out with some luggage. Well done, Luke. Tim's on the line. Tim, what happened to you, mate?
Yeah, g'day, guys. A couple of years ago now, we're from Sydney, me and two mates.
Yep.
Went down to the State of Origin in Melbourne for my 30th.
Yeah.
No accommodation booked, no luggage. Whatever was on your back is what was on your back. And it was a bad sign when 7 a.m. Wednesday morning, we're cracking a beer on the peak hour train into the airport. And it was all summed up by a burst blood vessel in my eye when I was spewing in the airport toilet.
Home on the red eye. And you never checked into anywhere?
No.
That is a good story, Tim. One of my favourites is Johnny Knoxville. Mm. And I know this to be true.
Right.
Because a limo driver in Sydney, I said, he's the best ever. Because they know where all the bodies are buried. Limo drivers. I said, he's the best ever, best touring. Because Johnny Knoxville, mate. He goes, I picked him up on the airport on a Friday.
Mm.
I drove him straight to a party.
Mm-hmm.
From there, we went to another party. We went to parties. I drove him back to the airport on the Sunday night. Right. He never checked in.
That's unreal.
That is three days. On the Hey, Duke, Tim.
Case of Brick Lane Draft for you as well, Tim. Thanks, buddy.
That is the draft, found at Dan Murphy's.
Yes.
That is a cracker. Going bonkers. New beer from Brick Lane this week. I'll talk to you about it later. Trevor's on the line. Trevor, what happened on your end-of-season trip?
We were on our way from Warrnambool to Adelaide, and we were using the bin in the bus for a toilet.
Mm, yes, you do.
And we got to about Murray Bridge. Kangaroo dumps out in the middle of the road. Bus hits kangaroo. Bin goes over.
Yuck.
Hanging the tail of the bus, of the bin going over there, there's one of the boys that drank a bottle of whiskey before Port Fairy, so he passed out in the stairwell.
Trevor.
Hey, guys, making the boys coming back from Tokyo look pretty good. Dave.
Oh, Rogue Roo. You've got a case of Brick Lane Draft as well on its way there, Trev.
Brad is on the line. Jesus.
Oh,
Brad, what happened to you?
Mate, went for a bit of a bus trip up to Port Macquarie at the end of the year and got on the turf all day.
Mm.
Had a bit of a blue with the halfback in the hotel room. He's picked up a curtain rod, thrown it straight out the window, hit a substation on the outside of the window, blacked out the whole of Port Macquarie.
Idiot! That's really irresponsible.
Could they trace it back to you guys? What happened,
mate? Next morning, escorted out of town by the police. Yeah, on the bus.
Wow!
You knew it was morning because it had been dark.
That's it.
Until then, well done, all. Duke and Dave.
A case of Brick Lane Draft on its way for you there as well.
We like it.
All right. Hey, Michelle Laurie, she's not far away. She's an author, don't you know? I'll be talking about a new book. Then Jim Jeffries from LA as well. This is Malloy on Triple M.
Get with the program, Toots. This is Malloy.
Right, now we're joined in studio by Michelle Laurie, author of a book called CSI Told You Lies,
in
stores right now. Penguin.com.au to find your local retailer.
You're fascinated with crime, Michelle. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Your podcast.
Australian True Crime.
Australian True Crime it is. Is that where you became fascinated with crime in the first place?
No, I always have been. I started, as a kid, I reckon I was 11, I was sneaking out books
Were
from
you
the
naughty
library.
As a child?
Yes.
Yes. Mm. Right.
Was I a criminal?
What was your first crime that you remember?
My first crime would have been stealing Madonna bangles from Kmart.
Good for you.
Yeah, thank you.
That's a good one. My one, I remember this, was on the way to school in Canberra.
Right.
It was very cold.
Mm.
And so I'd go to the milk bar, and because I'd take my gloves off, and stick packets of Lifesavers down every fingers of the glove, and then go up to the counter and pay for like a packet of chewing gum or something.
And then just nonchalant. Was that your act? Were you that guy who just walked real slow out the door?
My favourite moment ever was one day being taken to school in the back of a police car. And I was like,
"What?"
I was dropped off at school, and they thought they were teaching me a lesson. And I was like Bart Simpson.
Oh, yes, the outlaw.
How good is that? So, congratulations on the podcast, which is so successful. How did you parlay it into this book here I have in my hand?
Do you know
CSI Told You Lies?
That was not my idea. It was Matthew Hardy's idea.
I love Matthew Hardy.
I know you do.
What an outstanding man!
Well, is he?
Well, I'm sure he's been in the back of many police cars. Yeah.
Well,
I think I've been in the same one as Matthew Hardy.
Yeah, but the thing is, what a sook.
Really?
Oh, beg your pardon.
Because...
Jeez, you're on the front foot today.
I am front footing it because he has a podcast coming out tomorrow called Saturday Afternoon Fever.
Which, and by the way, I love that book.
I know
that,
you do.
I think it's the greatest book ever written on growing up
it's
and supporting
it. This isn't about him.
What
I'm saying
is... started it, though.
Him and Lawrence...
You brought it up. I just went with it.
He and Lawrence Mooney have this podcast coming out because...
Mooney's involved?
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord. Man, who's the sober influence
who's
on that couple?
Nutty one?
Right. But... Okay, they're both tough guys, and I get that. But what I'm saying is sooks, because why can't men handle true crime? Now, Hardy had the idea you should write a book about true crime. I said,
yes,
great.
Which you've done. CSI Told You Lies.
And he went and he actually got this deal going. He is the person who got me the book deal. Terrific. So then I started sending him chapters of the book. Oh, whinge.
I know.
What do you mean?
Oh, I go, did you get it? Yes, thanks for ruining my life.
Oh,
he can't. He can't.
But it's too gruesome for him.
Yes,
not too grisly.
He can't handle it. So
surprised
I had to make
he's not in it.
Deals. He might be yet, but I had to make deals with the women at Penguin. We had to like have secret
meetings with them.
Meetings, you know, and, really? And I'd
or
send
a sealed
them,
section that
yes,
he couldn't read.
Send them notes going, "This one's not for Hardy's eyes."
What have you learnt? What? Tell me what you've learnt. What have you learnt? You say so you hang out with. Who?
Forensic pathologists.
Pathologists.
Yes.
Do you have a morbid fascination here? I read that you have a favourite pathologist. Is that right?
Oh, well, I don't play favourite, but I know who I want to do my autopsy is what I'm saying.
You've thought it through?
Linda.
Do you know how you
are? Of course.
Obviously.
I asked her, would you do my autopsy? And she said, well, you can't really. I mean, it depends on who's on call. I said, no. Can I pay extra? Now to say that I want, and she said, "Well, what if I'm on holidays?" I said, "Keep me in the fridge."
Do you think you could trick her? Do you think you could do one where you get poisoned by something really exotic and go, "How long will it take her to find?"
When's Linda on? When's Linda on?
She's
Thursday.
Watch this, I'll ruin her week.
Put her to the test.
Mine'll be pretty easy. Got drunk, fell off balcony.
Yes, so I'm expecting the words misadventure on your. In inquest forms.
So what will we learn from this? So what did you learn by hanging out? That CSI is bullshit, basically.
Yes.
Seems to be your premise.
Well, time of death, Mickey. Bullshit.
Oh, no
You
way.
Can't work it out?
You can't.
Oh, why
really?
Not?
Every show
That's
says,
a basic premise.
Right, but no, you can't do that.
Oh, that's interesting.
You can't
the
work
maggots
out how-
don't know. The lividity doesn't know.
God.
Nothing, unless you see someone die and you look at your watch, you don't know.
Unless you did it.
Unless you did it.
Did it.
And looked at your watch. You have to do it and look at your watch. Otherwise, and the problem is because now we all think we know everything about forensics, if we're on a jury and the expert says, I don't know, I didn't look at my watch, I wasn't there, we go, oh, this guy's hopeless.
That's right.
Have these shows taught people in any way how to commit a crime? Have they educated people to the art of DNA or biology or stashing a body or any of that stuff?
We think we know, but you read the news, people are idiots. They still Google stuff.
Because I got a couple of bodies under the floorboards that I really need to dispose of.
And I'm sure you Googled it.
I did. Hang about, Michelle Lowe. Yes. The book is CSI Told You So. We'll be back.
No, it isn't. It isn't.
What do you mean?
It's
Told You
CSI
Lies.
CSI Told You Lies, mate.
Yeah. Told You So. What did I say?
Christ,
I've done my homework.
Yeah. All right.
Whatever. Get the one pager.
CSI.
Get the one pager. It's right in front of you.
I got the CSI, right?
Whitney made you a one pager.
I flipped to the back. I could tell you how it ends, everybody.
And where's that been in the toilet?
Good.
Why is that wet? Look, that's wet, that book of yours.
This is what I read on the tour.
Okay. Oh,
that's
it has got to be the best in the business.
More with Michelle Laurie.
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy.
CSI Told You Lies. It's a new book by Michelle Laurie. It's in stores right now, and she joins us here on Malloy.
That's right. Ooh. You've been curb crawling mausoleums, morgues.
morgues.
How's it go? Talk us through hanging out at the morgue.
Yeah, what's that like?
You get your scrubs on, you get your rubber boots on.
Yeah, right.
And you get amongst it.
So have you witnessed an autopsy?
No, not allowed yet.
Have you taken a body out of the drawer and walked it around weekend to burn
No!
Stuff? Are you allowed to do that?
Mick! No, it's a very professional atmosphere.
We wanted to film something in a morgue once.
I'm sure you did,
it was
yes.
when we were doing the late show and we're at ABC and I'd ring up. So I wanted to do a sketch where in the background, we're sitting in a morgue, but in the background, B1 was standing there pulling out a drawer and B2 was on it and he was nodding, like identifying the body. And I sent the script through to the ABC, who went back and goes, are you clearly friggin' mad?
You were just
to never call us again.
Behind your time, because there's a chapter in there about the old mortuary before this one and loosey goosey.
They still have the drawers in and out?
I don't know if they had it before that, but the old coppers who just retired, they talk about when they first got in the job.
A lot of ratting, is that what it's called? Was it ratting?
Ratting.
Well, you loot a corpse when basically they come in and you go, I'll go through your pockets. Well, there's 100.
Oh, right.
Well, there's a nice watch.
Yeah.
Who told you that?
Oh, well, geez,
you
think she doth protest too much.
I've never ratted.
I'm just saying it was a...
Mind you, I've seen you in a pub every now and then. I could have ratted you.
You'll see me in a morgue drawer if you keep if you hang around them for much longer. You can open the door one day and go, whoa.
There he is.
Have they ever seen... What happens if they identify someone they know?
Yeah. That happens.
Does that happen?
Really? Yeah, they try... Hey, everyone will know you. Oh, my God, I just realised.
When I go in?
Yes, yeah. Sir.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully it'll be... Disfigured face.
Why is that hopeful?
But what happens when they recognise someone? What do they do?
They don't. Well, they go, oi, I know that one.
Oh.
I suppose. I'm making that up.
It's my twin brother.
I'm paraphrasing.
I'm going to sit this one out.
Do they put tags on their toes and a little bit of string tied around it?
No.
Oh. They call them John Doe?
I don't know.
Okay. True or false that casinos have their own morgues because I've heard this. True or false, casinos have their own morgues because so many people lose their livelihood, they do something silly.
I believe that's false. So.
False. Ah.
False. You look so disappointed.
True or false, a dog will eat your remains if it's in the house after you're died.
Oh,
this is a great one because I love that you... are asking this because this is a lot. I've argued with so many people about this.
Yes.
I've always maintained your pet dog will not eat you. My dog Jacko would never eat me in a pink fit, but my cats, I think they're hovering on me now.
They don't even wait till you're dead.
I don't reckon they. And I've had it confirmed is what I'm saying. I'm not saying by any of the professionals at this institution. Cats will eat you, man. Yes.
Before you do it, do you have to hit a spoon on a tin?
Not even. I'm telling you, they are sniffing your eyeballs now.
Hang on. Wow, that's something to consider next time you fall asleep, cat people. People who read this book. Well, so you hang out with pathologists. Can you give me some of the experiences they've been through?
These guys, we talk about some big cases from around Australia. We talk about MH17 and the Maslins helped me with that chapter. We have permission from all the families.
Yes.
And Rin and Maz helped me with that chapter and they're beautiful, obviously amazing people.
Yeah, that's a huge story.
Yeah it is. And they're amazing, huge spirits. Mm. And we talk about the tsunami, Boxing Day tsunami and bushfire situation, the people who do the identification after that. And, yeah, we talk about lots of big cases like that, lots of homicide detectives and how they intersect and work with these guys.
David Hooks,
I'll bet you'll be interested in
that
one.
I would like to know, well, is there a whatever?
There's a big story there. There's a really important story because David Hooks wanted to donate his organs, but the detectives needed a proper autopsy because they wanted to pursue a manslaughter case. So how do you negotiate that? It's interesting.
Yeah.
This sounds like an eye-opener for the layperson to get involved. It's a page-turner. Mm-hmm. Could be a stomach churner.
Mm.
See what I did there?
Not bad. Especially if some idiot's dropped it in the dunny before you get it.
You can put, that's how I want to go, like Elvis, on the toot. Imagine that. Cause of death.
On the toot.
Snapping one off.
Okay. Toot misadventure.
Right.
The book is called
CSI Told You Lies.
Michelle Laurie. And are you doing any book tours or signings?
You can't, can you? No. You can't. We can't go anywhere. We're not allowed.
Has any COVID deaths? Have you seen any COVID? Have you?
No.
You're not allowed to, are you?
No.
I keep thinking you're there.
Yeah.
I think you're scrubbed up. Can you get me in?
No.
Can you sneak me in?
No, they rang ahead. I said, no, not yet. Not yet.
Are coroners upset that everyone's wearing masks now?
No.
They kind of feel like that was their thing.
Nah, they're fine.
right.
There's the book.
Okay.
Go and get
CSI,
it.
CSI, told you lies.
And the podcast as well.
And the podcast.
Australian True Crime. Well, and tomorrow, Saturday Afternoon Fever is out and about tomorrow. Well, that's another great podcast.
Michelle Laurie.
Made by some sooks, but listen to it anyway.
It's Malloy. Triple M.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
Jim Jefferies to join us in a few minutes' time.
Yes.
You're listening to Malloy on Triple M. And,
Dave. Dave the Song Whisperer was trending on our podcast.
I saw that.
Peaking or something. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Because people...
Because I'm an idiot.
It's the same reason people slow down at an accident.
That's right.
See it.
See, this is Jay's segment. I feel bad. And
it's
I know
not. You're doing a good job. Synopsis, please.
All right, here's the synopsis.
You're up all night on this one, really?
Been thinking all night about this song, so here it is. This song reminisces, remembers, indeed yearns for a time when stone fruit was stone fruit. Sorry, trying to keep a straight face. When dwellings comprised of neither a prime nor semi-prime number of rooms, and when the contractions of cardiac muscles were elevated, Mickey.
Contraction? Just say it again.
All right.
Do it properly.
All right, okay. This song reminisces, remembers, indeed yearns for a time when stone fruit was stone fruit, when dwellings comprised of neither a prime nor semi-prime number of rooms, and when the contractions of cardiac muscles were elevated.
If anyone gets this, you can come and live with Dave for a
moment. Well, if you get it right.
Is it reminiscing, Little River Band?
Ooh, LRB.
You said reminiscing.
Yeah, I did say that word in
well,
there.
Why
but,
would you throw it in if it's not reminiscing?
Well, have a think about it. The song reminisces. Yearns for a
stone fruit.
Yeah, well, what could that be? What's a stone fruit, Mick? Might be in the title of the song, perhaps. Who knows? I can't say what it is.
Hey, I'm a.
It's not
prune.
No, it's not.
133353, get involved.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Malloy. To gather back around your wireless people, here comes the big second hour of Malloy.
It's going to be a beauty, people. Jim and Jeffrey's not far away. Dave O'Neill is going to tell us where he's heading when the lockdown ends. We'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets, but let's get straight into Song Whisperer. You're getting used to it. Dave, the Song Whisperer, synopsis, please.
This song reminisces, remembers, indeed yarns or yearns for a time when stone fruit was stone fruit, when dwellings comprised of neither a prime nor semi-prime number of rooms, and when the contractions of cardiac muscles were elevated.
Oops, me plums.
No, incorrect.
It's not even a song, Dave.
Oh, big
just said that out loud.
Right.
Greg's on the line. Greg.
Hey, how we going, boys?
Hi, Greg.
G'day, Greg.
Anything from that load of hoo-ha?
Yes, actually.
What are you thinking?
I'm feeling really confident, which is probably twice in the whole history of listening to the song.
Go for it.
The stone fruit was a bit of a giveaway for me.
Yeah.
So I thought of the President of the United States of America, the song called Peaches.
Peaches.
I see where you're going with that. The whole stone fruit was stone fruit bit.
But he's fallen for it, has he, Dave?
Not right.
Not right, Dave.
Not right, Greg.
He's led you a merry dance, Greg. Hey, duke him, Dave.
Case of Brick Lane draft on its way for you, though.
The draft is the behemoth of all beers.
Available down
The big kahuna.
So good.
I love it. It's my favourite beer. Andy's on the line. Andy.
Hey, gentlemen.
What do you think the song is, mate?
I'm hoping it's going to be Crowded House, Mean to Me.
Okay, so you're saying Crowded House because of the whole...
prime or semi-prime number of rooms.
Is that what you're saying?
Padded cell,
Mean to me, padded cell,
black
crowded
white
house.
TV to keep us getting lonely.
And Dave?
Nah.
What?
Nah, it's not right, Andy.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Wait.
Andy, you get a case
Andy,
of Brick Lane.
Brick Lane coming, so...
Coming your way. It's not all bad news.
Empty-handed. All right.
They both thought they had you covered.
They did.
Matt's on the line. Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, boys. Is it John Mellencamp, Cherry Bomb?
Let's hope not. It's one of my favourite song. A cherry as in stone fruit.
Yes.
Cherry. And what about the house? What about the...
I just think when a sport was a sport, he's reminiscing through the song.
Oh,
well, he lived on the outskirts of town in an eight-room farmhouse.
What?
Oh,
that's neither prime nor subprime. Hey, oh, my God.
Love your work, Dave.
You got it.
Dave, you did not work that out.
You got it.
You,
I was up all night thinking about it.
You wouldn't know the prime number.
Of course I do.
The only prime number you know is 69.
How dare you? Kings of Leon tickets for you, Matt. You got those tickets. Well done, buddy. Jim Jefferies next. Malloy, Triple M.
This is Malloy.
It's time to check in with the great Jim Jeffries from Los Angeles, California, right now on Malloy.
Hello, Jim. How goes?
Hello. Hello to the great basketballing nation of Australia.
That's right.
We've got you.
I stayed up till 5 in the morning over here to watch that bloody game, and you watch that basketball in Australia versus Argentina, and you go, I think the Argentinians have one good bloke. We better watch out for him. He's probably terrible. The next big game's against America. I'm very excited about it.
Well, who are you barracking for there? Because I think you're a US citizen now.
Yeah,
aren't
well,
you?
That's right. Who do you
go for? No. It never gets beaten out of you. I go for Australia, and I want America to not only not win, I want them to lose. I don't know why. It's like, and I'm an American, but it's that weird thing because your childhood where you're like, we're going to get them. And I'm walking around town telling everyone, I'm going, do you know that we're leading the medal counts per capita?
Yeah.
Per capita. I go, you Americans would need 300 more medals to be equal to Australia.
Well, cop that, you idiots. Now, my favourite basketball team happens to be the Spanish basketball team, but from the Paralympics. Do you remember they were the basketball team who fielded able-bodied athletes as handicapped people? They actually bunged on a handicap to qualify, and they were all proper able-bodied. It's the greatest Olympic sporting cheat in history. I always go, how badly do you want to win the Paralympic gold medal to actually field able-bodied athletes? You know.
Terrible.
But also, when you win the medal, when you actually have one, and you've got your friends and your family around you, and you go, we did it. We pulled it off. I'm so proud of this medal. They really believed it.
That's right. It's like watching the Harlem Globetrotters play the Washington Generals. It's too one-sided. Hey, now, you would have heard, of course, about the Australians are in trouble now. So for 2 weeks it's been, do you realise how many boys and girls you've inspired watching the athletics? Now we've got them pissed on a plane on the way home and they're copping it.
Really?
So the rugby team, who, by the way, didn't win anything.
Right.
So, you know, be careful who you vomit on. The rugby players and the Ollie Roos, I think, they're on the plane. But it got me thinking, have you ever been on a boozy end of season trip or have you?
I went on a boozy about 10-year tour where I was just going around from comedy club to comedy club. I empathise with what. So they were drinking every day, were they? Oh, okay. I get it.
I remember turning up once in Adelaide to a show. And I was still that drunk when I got there. I said, oh, Jesus, we've got a show on before us tonight. And it wasn't. It was our show, which had started early because it was a Sunday. It was already in progress. So there's a shower backstage for Mickey and get him out there. Quick sticks. Now, this is the talking point for me from the Olympics, mate. Can you win two gold medals for different countries in the same event? This is, we all talk about the spirit of the Olympics.
This is the high jump.
The high jump. Mate. The guys have brokered a deal. They've broken a deal between nations. It's like the old Kirribilli agreement or the Don Lane, Bert Newton, 6 months in my house, 6 months in yours. That would be better. But they both cut themselves a gold medal. Where do you sit on that?
I think if I was in the team, I'd do that at the very beginning of the competition. I'd split it 10 ways. I just go, we all should get gold. If we could all, everyone just trip over the bar. If you can trip it over it.
No one jumps today.
Yeah.
There'll be no one jumping. I could be a gold medalist.
You can jump, but you can't do the Fosby flop. That one's out the door. You have to jump it just the regular way where you leap up with your legs.
It's a forward roll, basically.
Yeah. That was the thing I was thinking about freestyle swimming. So in Australia, we call it freestyle, right? Yeah. And in Britain, they call it a forward crawl. You ever heard someone call it a forward crawl?
I know we've called it Australian crawl. It's been called the Australian crawl freestyle and the forward crawl.
Even the crawl, right?
Yeah.
But, okay, so it turns out that freestyle, I always thought was the name of the thing. Freestyle's just an event where you can swim in any stroke you want.
Oh,
and everyone
right?
swims. Yeah, and everyone swims in the crawl because the crawl's the fastest.
Is the fastest.
Oh, right.
So you can do what you want.
Yeah, you can do what you want. All we need to do is invent our own Fosby flop. If we can come up with a faster stroke. We like Ben Lexus with the bloody yacht that time. He made the We just got to figure out a better stroke, and then we'll take them all. We will.
I like it. You know what I would do? I would swim as the man from Atlantis. It's kind of like butterfly, but with no arms. You just got to do it. Or my own patented stroke, which is I call the white dolphin, which is you dive in, and then while you're underground, you remove your bathers. And then all you do is break the surface with your bottom occasionally. The white dolphin, or Migaloo in my case.
Has anyone checked that we can't have kickboards? Like, is that the rules?
Flippers.
Yeah. Like, if one person just rocks in with flippers and a kickboard and just goes, new outfit, do they go, all right, then have a go?
I would like to demand that they have to swim in an Olympic pool in the same way we have to, under the same conditions.
Oh, yeah.
Which would be, you know, like a creepy crawly on the bottom, a guy fishing leaves out of lane 8, coins on the bottom, your locker key attached to your
on a pin,
it's all good. Hey, can you hang about, Jim?
Yeah, of course I can.
All right, Jim Jeffries with us. It's Malloy on Triple M.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
We are joined by the great Jim Jeffries from LA right now.
Jim, Rolling Stone, which is the Bible when it comes to music, released a list of the all-time greatest music videos this week.
Yeah.
At the top was
Beyonce.
Beyonce
Formation.
Formation, which I don't have a strong memory of.
I don't know much about it.
Michael Jackson snuck in at 10 with Billie Jean. We would have thought there might be some more. Do you have any thoughts on this?
Thriller's better than Billie Jean. Billie Jean's a crap film clip with her dancing over the bloody footpath. Anyone could have done that. I could do a show on stage where I do it over the bloody tiles. That's a stupid one.
Idiots.
Have
you got one? I used to like Devo film clips for mine. They always did it for me.
So you're going too artsy. You're going on what looks good. I go on the experience.
Here we go.
And that's and I don't even like the song. I just like the film clip.
What is it?
It's Stacey's mum.
Oh,
she's got it going on. That Kiwi model dances on the bloody table all the time. Bloody good.
You're the first person, and we've been canvassing this widely this week, who has bowled in Stacey's mum.
Not many calls for that, to be honest.
As the greatest film clip of all time.
It's not a bloody popular answer. It's the right answer. I'll tell you this. There's this other film clip that I like. And it's my favourite song is Porno Music. That's the best film clip you can have. Turn one on and the waka waka waka.
Okay.
That's your best video clip you've
got. Did you find Seinfeld? I found Seinfeld a bit porno.
What, the
music? Yeah, if you put the Seinfeld theme under a good porno, it's kind of.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you reckon? Oh, yeah. Come on, baby. Oh. You know you want it. You know you want it. So that's your favourite music clip, because we got, being the Triple M audience, we got a fair bit of Van Halen.
Van Halen.
A lot of stripper songs, basically.
Cherry Pie, Warrant.
Cherry Pie. There was kind of a genre.
Yeah,
clicking away.
Cherry Pie is very similar vein to Stacey's mum. I can see the joy in that film clip as well.
So Stacey's mum, explain it to me. It's a
Rachel Hunter. Kid comes over. The daughter thinks, he's into me, but he's not into her. He's into Rachel Hunter, right? And then she comes out, and she's like wearing sensible clothes. But then he imagines it, and then she's stripping around a pole. Fantastic video clip.
You've piqued my interest.
It's a bloody good one.
That's right up there with Formation. Yeah. As far as I am concerned.
Oh, fine. If you don't like my pick, bloody, I don't know. Crowded House, always take the weather with you. I can't even remember it.
Now you're just plucking them out at random. Split Ends, I See Red was a good film clip. That was just a guy in a bathroom brushing his teeth. Do you remember?
I do.
Has anyone seen Wonderwall? It's just Liam sitting in a chair. Fantastic bloody film clip.
I'm looking at the video now. Yeah, that's... Oh, wow.
Didn't take you long to find it, did it, Dave? Can you put the Seinfeld music back under that as we go out to the break? We'll be back with a bit more Jim Jeffries after this. Oh, yeah. I'll put it away, Jim. Jim, no.
This is Malloy. It's Triple M.
Driving you home. This is Malloy.
We are joined by Jim Jefferies. I don't know about that. That's the podcast available wherever you get your podcasts from. Talking about galaxies.
You would have tuned into this because you're a giant space nerd. You and James are both space nerds. Mm. And you went all out on the Galaxy Edition, Jim. Did you learn a lot about the galaxy? Are you intrigued by...
A lot of it that I've since forgotten, but I learnt it in the moment.
Right. That's
a bit, if you ask me about it now, I won't remember. But I know.
Well, I want to ask you about your suggestion for what spaghettification may be. Have you got the clip?
Yeah, take a listen.
What is spaghettification? Jim said when the Italians moved out of the galaxy and ruined the...
moved into the neighborhood and we spaghettified the whole place. Hey, get rid of your cupcake stores. We're moving in pasta stores here. Meatballs, they're not meatballs. Is that what it is?
Are you Dr. Delhaize?
No. Spaghettification is the theory, the idea of what happens if you were getting close to a black hole and you were falling in feet first. The difference in the gravity between your feet and your head would be so vast that you would actually get stretched out like a long, thin strand of spaghetti. So that's why it's called spaghettification.
Yeah. And because of the time, you didn't see nothing. You're not going to say nothing.
Now, that is...
That's unreal.
That is very interesting, dude. I had no idea about spaghettification. Either theory, black hole theory, or yours, which is Italians move into the neighborhood.
It is funny that Italian-Americans seem to be the last group you could really take the piss out of. I've got to say, I've been so mean to them on my specials and all that type of stuff. They've never come for me.
They love it.
And they say they have the mafia. They haven't done anything.
So did you learn a lot about the galaxy? Are you intrigued? Do you stand out at night and look at the stars and wonder?
Oh, I don't really care, really. Everyone's always like, there's probably life, maybe, maybe not. There probably is. We'll never see it. We're very insignificant. That's all I think.
We are.
Whenever I do something shitty in my life, I always think that, well, you know, it's a big galaxy. Is this the worst thing?
I do too. I look at the vastness of time and go, my behaviour last night won't even come up in the grand scheme of things. In 30 billion years from now, the higher art form will go, he had a good time. He had a shocker, but he didn't hurt anyone.
That's it.
You know what I mean? It does help occasionally. Do you know this? I got a star named after me. The team here, it was my birthday. You can get this done. It's unbelievable.
All right.
You go, look, it's the Star Name Company.
Yeah.
How did they get the rights on the star? Can anyone be the Star Naming Company? Are there 20 other bloody star naming company?
That's a good point.
Did you do this down at the pier with another bloke who's doing caricatures? How did you get this?
Hey, mate, I'll give you the exact coordinates of my star, and if I see you nosing around or going anywhere near the thing, I will sue you.
I can give you the exact coordinates of New Zealand. Doesn't mean I bloody own the place.
Mate, I am telling you right now, you've been warned. That's right, an official warning.
All right.
My star, right ascension, 9H3M at 25.41, declination, 24 degree, 42 inch, 49.43 from the Romanian judge, magnitude 9.1767000, named Mystique. If I see you anywhere near it, I guarantee you, you will be in violation.
Wait a minute. I thought it was named after you. When did you become Mystique? Is that like your drag name or something, Mystique?
No, it references the island of Mystique, which I can't talk about. Stuff went on there that just can't be talked about. In fact, that was one of those incidences where I go, gee, in the history of time, maybe people will forget about my behaviour. It's called Mystique. It's named after the island, and I own it.
All right.
Okay,
right.
Jim? So, do you want me to get you a star?
No. I'll...
This time next week, I'll get you a star.
I just want to buy your star and be a bastard.
Mate, I can see trouble brewing here. I can see a court case involving...
Get me a recording of those coordinations. Let's see who gets whose star.
You're going to be there for the first time with a big telescope tonight trying to case out my planet. I'm on to you, Jeffrey. I'm on to you. Hey, how'd you go? Are you back doing live gigs just before we go?
I just went and did Vegas. Vegas.
You sat on that.
That's always the way to do it. You go in there. It's like the canary in the mine, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The people in Vegas, they don't give a... They're all just smoking and walking around. The Delta variant's going through the roof. Right. You're meant to wear a mask or that stuff. They don't care. There's just people. They still have cigar lounges in Vegas. right? Just to put this in context, you have to wear a mask unless you're smoking your cigar in the cigar lounge. Then you can lower it for a moment. You'll never get COVID in there.
The Delta variant in Vegas, I think, is named after a stripper whose dancing name is Delta.
Hey! There she is.
Good to know you're back on stage. Stay out of my galaxy. Always a pleasure to catch up, mate.
All right, you too, mate. Talk to you next time.
Jim Jefferies.
Get with the program, Toots. This is Malloy.
Thanks to Choice Hotels. Yeah. You can plan your next getaway at choicehotels.com for the lowest price, guaranteed.
Guaranteed, and I will be doing it with Choice Hotels, the best in the business, a different range of opportunities. They've got the Ascend Hotel Collection, Clarion Hotels, quality hotels, comfort hotels, and an Econolodge in Portland. Well, I can't wait to stay there. These guys are great, and they're positioned beautifully around the country and New Zealand, over 180.
Amazing.
And what I love is they're always in the best bits.
Well, that's right, because they're independently owned and operated. So the owners want to live in a good spot, so that's why you get a great
spot. You can't travel overseas, so why not have a great long weekend in a regional location somewhere in Australia?
Mm.
Today, we're having a look at Mount Gambier. The Gambier. As I call it, and I'll tell you who's been giving it a real captain's cook.
Righto.
Here's our mate Dave O'Neill.
He's been
in lockdown going, where, when I get out of here, do I want to go? And you got your sights on the Gamb now, Mount Gambier.
We used to holiday at Mount Gambier. I did ask my parents the other day why, and Dad just said, because it's Mount Gambier.
Sure. I reckon I know why, because there's a steakhouse there called The Barn.
Ooh.
Have you been to The Barn?
Yes, I have.
I know local residents at Mount Gambier, and the first time they took me to The Barn, I lost my mind.
Oh, right, eh?
It is the greatest steakhouse in the Southern Hemisphere, bar none. Jeez. What else can you do at Mount Gambier?
Well, you can go on a sinkhole crawl.
Okay.
I don't know if you know.
No.
There's lots of sinkholes.
Is it the sinkhole capital?
Yes, the sinkhole capital. You can go to the Umpherston sinkhole or the Kilsby sinkhole.
Right.
So I'm going to get my... I'm going to get my diving gear on and do a sinkhole crawl.
These are great dive sites. These are world-renowned dive sites, the best sinkholes in the world. It is. And because it's the home of the Great Lakes too.
Oh, the Blue Lake.
The Blue Lake.
That's legendary.
When we were kids, Dad said it was bottomless. I remember it's meant to be a bottomless lake.
Wow.
It's amazing. It's in a volcano.
Yeah. Well, it could be, mate. Have you been to the bottom? I wouldn't have thought so.
No.
I can do some free diving. I do some free diving, but that's usually in a pool bar. The Blue Lake is one of the Great Lakes. When they do a list of the Great Lakes around the world, the Blue Lake is world class. Make no mistake. It's picturesque. It's gorgeous. You said it's on a volcano.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much to do. And you know what? You can get outdoors up there.
That's right.
You know what I mean? You can probably get out
and run around
to your heart's content. Kids will go bonkers. In the modern world, it's a rare opportunity to get out at one with nature. And take advantage. Where would you stay, Dave?
Yeah.
I'd stay at the Choice Comfort in the Lakes, which is right on the edge of the lakes.
Oh, perfect. Bang. In prime posse, in the rock star position.
Front row seats.
Overlooking.
I'm going to get my scuba gear on and walk from the Choice Hotel to the lake.
Do not do that.
Put your wedding on.
I've seen you in your scuba gear. You wee before you go in, don't you?
Yeah.
Don't you? You do. Yeah, we always did do that. You used to go, do I, don't I? I'm going to.
Righto.
You get it done, have a wee, jump in.
What, in the Blue Lake?
Well, before you get in the Blue Lake.
Well, you make it green, wouldn't you?
I'll be like that bloke in Eildon, remember, who dressed up as a fish. Remember that bloke who...
He didn't come to a good end. There'll be none of that at the Blue Lake. Let me tell you.
It's amazing.
You wouldn't sully. This is one of the great.
Looks amazing.
Oh, the stuff you can do on that.
There's
lake.
A New Orleans-style jazz bar.
Shut up,
in
Dave.
Mount Gambier.
Are you serious?
Yep. New Orleans comes to Gambier. Wow. That's amazing.
Well, you can do it all, one and all. I'm going to see you there. Dave, have you got your heart set on this?
Oh, I absolutely love it. And you can have a New Orleans funeral. When my scuba gear goes wrong.
They are the best funerals going around.
They do. They have fun.
It feels like they're happy you're gone.
It's a bit,
really?
Isn't it?
Hey, if I die, I hope it's in Mount Gambier next to the Blue Lake. Push me out in a funeral pyre like a Viking. Set fire to it as I enjoy the last look at the greatest lake in the world. Well done, Dave.
And shout out to Triple M 963 AM, Ewan Grant for breakfast in Mount Gambier as well on the Limestone Coast. So great work. And for Choice Hotels, you can plan your next getaway at choicehotels.com for the lowest price guaranteed. Good on you, Dave.
The lake won't be blue if you get burnt in it, Mick, if you do your funeral.
The Choice Comfort in the Lakes is where I'll be staying, Dave.
All right.
Called the Brown Lake after you.
Enough.
It's Malloy on Triple M.
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy.
This is Malloy. Well, was Malloy. Oh, got about a minute left, and then we're done for the day.
Well, you were saying it was, Malloy. You know something I don't?
No, I'm saying, look, that was the show. This is the last little bit of it. But by the way, if you missed any of it, you can always get the podcast, download that.
What happens on the podcast?
You should tune in one day. I am going to set up a podcast thing on your phone so you can, on your way home with Raj.
So listen to it on your phone?
Well, yeah.
How long has this been going on?
Well, how else are you going to listen to it?
I thought you'd have to get a podcast.
What do you mean? Like a podcast machine to listen to podcasts?
Yeah, it'd be like an iPod.
Yeah, well, you can listen to podcasts on iPods.
Can you?
But funny enough, your phone
Walkman?
Is almost...
Can you listen to it on a Walkman?
No, Walkman were cassettes, weren't they? So you, unless you tape it on cassette.
I'm sure there's a modern Walkman.
That has... Well, that's what an iPod is really, isn't it, when you think about
okay,
it?
Okay, take that tone out
okay,
of your
okay, I'm
voice.
Just trying to explain to you. You would love
everyone
podcasts,
everyone on the other
mate.
Side of the glass is laughing at me right
podcasts
now.
Are like, there's something for everybody in there. There'd be something for you tailored exactly
got, like,
for your taste.
Have they got an X-rated podcast?
There would be. There would be. Ooh. There'd be porn stars out there that do podcasts, what? No doubt. If you're into music, if you like, I don't know, middle-of-the-road artists like Billy Joel, I'm sure there's a podcast. Oh, there was
well,
a podcast.
Was. Tell us about your podcast, Dave. What happened?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I went ahead and did it. It was last lockdown. It was the big lockdown for Melbourne, so I had a bit of time on my hands, and it was the 40th anniversary of Billy Joel's Glass Houses. I thought, great. I love that record. 40 years, this is a great anniversary. I'll put together a little special for it, put it on a podcast. But apparently, according to Mike Fitzpatrick, head of content at Triple M, you can't put any music inside podcasts.
According to Sony, too, who owned the rights to all the music.
That was the
and you had
direction.
No license to play.
No.
So you nearly sunk the entire company.
Well,
and it had to be pulled down.
Well,
your podcast, I think it's the shortest ever podcast, to last 12 minutes or something
no,
like
that. It was out for 12 hours, I think, and then it was pulled. But it was really good. I mean, there's probably some bootleg copies out there. So
you know who it's pulled up, by? Music lovers.
Oh, come on. I heard Billy Joel, I heard a clip of Billy Joel today that someone sent me that back in the 80s during the Russian tour.
Oh, I think that's all we've got time for today. No, what's your story?
No, he cracked them. He's cracked the poos on stage. I'll see if I can find it for tomorrow's show. The lighting, so he's halfway singing a song, he's going, turn down the lighting! And then he keeps singing and he's full on, which is very unbilling.
Turn down the lighting's a good call from him. He's not the prettiest looking guy. Turn the lighting right down. Silhouette. Did he? Have you got that?
I will find it for tomorrow because he's lost it on stage. And I liked it. It was pretty funny.
What's happening tomorrow?
So tomorrow on the show, Titus O'Reilly will be on the show.
He'll have some good Olympic stuff for us. Yeah. It's almost over.
It is. Tonight, by the way, the 800 final with Aussie Peter Boll.
Yeah.
Just after 10. The first Aussie since 1968 in the 800 final. That'll be unreal.
Finish up.
Are we done that? Yeah, okay, that's over a minute. Back tomorrow to drive you home again with Malloy.
Now you're all caught up on the Malloy Drive Show. Why not plan your next getaway with Choice Hotels? With hotels in every state and territory, wherever you're headed, Choice Hotels are there. Visit choicehotels.com for the lowest price guaranteed. Terms and conditions apply.